Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Andrea Strimling Yatsapa, author of the IBM Center Report, Coordinating for Results, Lessons from a Case Study of Interagency Coordination in Afghanistan. So, Andrea, what factors distinguished the success in interagency coordination from the failures, and what enabled coordinated results to be achieved?
Well, I think the place to start is really to reaffirm what we discussed earlier, and that is that certainly individual personalities, individual interpersonal relationships matter a great deal in explaining successful coordination. And anyone who's served in an interagency context knows that implicitly. Having said that, we don't need to be dependent on the luck of the draw completely. In other words, there are deeper organizational structural factors that really do affect who is in what position at what time, what their relationships are with their counterparts in other agencies, what their skill level is in engaging in the information sharing and joint planning necessary for coordination. So I think that's very encouraging because it really does point toward the fact that there are concrete steps that can be taken, very specific structures and processes that can be institutionalized to make coordination much more likely to emerge.
So your report highlights four findings about the systems and processes necessary for coordinated results. Could you tell us a little bit about those?
There were four high-level findings that hark back directly to what we discussed in the case study. And the first is the importance of co-location and convening. So we saw, especially in period two, with the co-location of the ambassador and senior military commander, how important co-location was, enabling them to forge a very constructive working relationship, to engage in regular joint problem solving. But it wasn't just co-location at the top that mattered. There was actually co-location at multiple levels of the military chain of command on the ground. And each of those levels, co-location fostered stronger working relationships and enhanced coordination. It wasn't sufficient, but it was quite important. And where we saw consistent coordination, co-location was often one of the key explanations. Having said that, co-location is not always possible because of geography, because of logistics, because of resources, because of how various agencies structure their work, and because of numbers. You can't co-locate thousands of people together and have it necessarily be effective. So there needs to be an alternative that still allows for the face-to-face communication, the relationship development, and reduces the transaction's cost for sharing information, for engaging in these joint processes. And that's where convening becomes a very powerful alternative or complement. And convening, bringing representatives of multiple agencies together on a regular basis in a structured, ideally a facilitated process to share information and to jointly analyze problems and even engage in joint planning. And so I think that the takeaway, therefore, is the face-to-face interaction. The regular opportunities for face-to-face interaction are very important and really do foster enhanced coordination. Of course, because of distance, because of resource constraints, it's not always possible to get people together face-to-face. And sometimes we simply do have to rely on information technology. But whenever possible, if that can be supplemented with occasional face-to-face opportunities, it's well worth the investment. So the second finding, which was partially covered in my earlier answer, is that regular information sharing and rigorous joint analysis and planning are really essential for coordination. They enable participants to develop a shared assessment of the situation, to articulate common goals, while also, I should say, acknowledging and dealing with differences that often remain. And they also, very importantly, allow them to agree on a division of labor that maximizes complementarity, so really leads directly to the potential for coordinated results. The third finding is that structured joint processes are complicated and difficult, and they often run into all sorts of obstacles. And therefore, facilitative leadership is necessary to help guide people through constructive joint processes. Facilitative leadership is leadership when there is not sort of a clear chain of command, when leaders have to rely on facilitating a process. And so what we found in this case study is that the leaders who were arguably the most effective in supporting civil-military coordination, had very strong facilitative leadership skills, and they used that to convene agency stakeholders and to lead them through these joint processes in ways that yielded both the tangible results of enhanced coordination and the significant mutual learning that we've already discussed. And the final finding, the fourth finding at this high level, is that all of the above, all of what we've discussed, is very powerful and is necessary for sustained, continued interagency coordination. But it is not sufficient, and there are three additional factors that must be paired with the in-person interaction, the information sharing, the joint analysis and planning, and the facilitative leadership. And those three factors are delegation of decision-making authority to the lowest possible level, paired with professional incentives to take the time to share information, to build positive working relationships, to align efforts, and third, accountability for the results, the downstream results of decisions and activities.
Sue, your findings, which you just outlined for us, translate into concrete recommendations for executives and managers working to enhance coordination in other agencies and policy arenas. I'd like to focus on the recommendations you've crafted for forging organizational systems and processes necessary for coordinated results. Could you tell us?
Sure. The first recommendation, which flows directly from the findings we just discussed, is to co-locate representatives of coordinating agencies whenever possible. This can be on a full-time or part-time basis, but co-location is a very powerful way both to convey the senior level commitment to coordination and to facilitate the development of working relationships conducive to coordination, and at a very practical level to enable the communication necessary for coordination to emerge. So recommendation one is co-locate whenever possible. When it isn't possible, engage in regular structured convening of interagency teams. Bring representatives of the multiple coordinating agencies together on a regular basis and lead them through a process of sharing information in a structured way and engaging in joint analysis, joint problem solving, and wherever possible, joint planning. The second recommendation is to ensure that there are these regular structured opportunities for information sharing and joint analysis and planning, however they emerge. So again, it's emphasizing the need for structured joint processes that enable the information to flow, enable agency representatives to articulate shared goals, and agree on a division of labor that leverages their respective comparative advantages. The third recommendation relates to the one we just discussed, in that these processes are complicated, they are challenging, and they often run into difficulties. So it is well worth investing in experienced professional facilitation of any kind of regular joint analysis and planning process. The fourth recommendation is to delegate decision-making authority to the lowest possible level, at the same time as providing professional incentives to coordinate, rewarding people professionally for taking the time to build constructive relationships with their counterparts in other agencies, rewarding them for sharing information, and rewarding them for engaging in the kind of joint analysis and planning that's necessary to coordinate. And finally, ensuring that the representatives of each of the agencies are held individually and collectively accountable for the results they deliver. And so these three things together work in synergy to strengthen and enhance coordination.
I'd like to explore the final two recommendations you offer in your report and address the key factors that maximize the effectiveness of these systems and processes. Would you tell us more about these recommendations?
Yes, I think that the analysis, the case study, really did show that systems and processes matter a great deal. But in the context of clearly articulated shared goals and priorities. So leaders seeking to foster sustained, deep, productive coordination among their agencies, among their respective agencies, should work together to articulate shared high-level goals and priorities to the people below them, and ideally to articulate them jointly, as a collective rather than individually. And then as representatives of the various agencies engage in joint planning processes, they should focus first on using those processes to interpret the higher level guidance from above in a way in which they clearly articulate their shared goals and their priorities. at the same time, it's very, very important to not force consensus where consensus doesn't exist mm-hmm. or can't exist. And so part of the joint analysis process is also articulating or identifying where there are differences in goals or in priorities or timelines, which is more often the case, and how those differences can be addressed in a mutually beneficial way. But the important takeaway really is the need to articulate shared goals and priorities both at the top, at the strategic level and policy levels, as well as all the way down to the more tactical decision-making level. And the final recommendation is, as we've discussed, these systems and processes are absolutely essential for achieving sustained interagency coordination. But that's not to say, once again, that individual personalities and team dynamics do not play a role. So to the extent that leaders have the ability to select people into key to serve on coordination processes or to forge teams for co-location or for a convened joint process, it's very important to pay attention to individual personalities. Do they have experience working across agency lines? Are they excited about working across agency lines? Do you think that their attitude or their personality are particularly conducive to that? Do they have facilitative leadership skills? Do they have consensus building skills? And to team dynamics, ensuring that there is a robust team that has different strengths represented on it across the different agencies. And so by combining the investment in these systems and processes with careful attention to individual factors and to team dynamics, that gives us the greatest likelihood of successful coordination.
Andrea, thanks for joining us today. It was great to have you.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
This has been a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Andrea Strimling-Yatsapa, author of the IBM Center report, Coordinating for Results, Lessons from a Case Study of Interagency Coordination in Afghanistan. You may order or download a free copy of this and any Center report at businessofgovernment.org. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.